Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Real wolves are social creatures. They need and crave a group to belong to in order to survive and thrive. The same is true for your Minnesota Timberwolves. Now join host Henry Lake as he gets an inside look with another prominent member of the club. This is Life in the Pack.
Welcome to another episode of the Life in the Pack podcast, where we talk to players, past and present, and executives with the Minnesota Timberwolves organization. I'm your host, Henry Lake. And today I get a chance to talk to a former player who spent nine of his 12-year NBA career right here in Minnesota. Doug West joins us here today on the podcast. Doug, it's a pleasure to talk to you today.
Well, thanks for having me, Henry. Greatly appreciate it. Look forward to the conversation.
Yeah, I look forward to it as well. And let's dive right in. I don't want to make you feel old because you aren't old. You're only 54, but you are one of the original Timberwolves. You were one of the first ever draft picks by the organization in the 1989 NBA draft. How proud are you of that fact that this organization, wanting to get off to a good start, said that you would be one of their players?
Well, you know, when you look back on it, you know, you reflect back once it all ends. You know, you're very, happy, honored, with your achievements. Being drafted by the Timberwolves in '89 was a actually shock to me. It wasn't one of the teams that I had visited.
Wow!
And when it happened, my first thing was like, "Wow, where's Minnesota?" because I'm from the East Coast, and my whole life spent on the East Coast, played in the Big East. Not a lot of traveling to the Midwest, I was very, very, very excited, somewhat, apprehensive going to a new city, new people, new organization. I had no clue what to expect.
Wow, that's interesting. So what was it like being a part of an expansion NBA team, a team that's literally you're starting from scratch?
Yeah, it was that's how I came into the league. So I didn't have anything else to compare it to. The players that we had brought in, a Tony Campbell or a Rick Mahorn or guys of that nature, Randy Brewers, those guys, they had played in the NBA. So they had other experiences. To me, it was an opportunity to start something new and to go at it, wide eyed, open minded and get the most out of it.
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago that you had no idea anything about Minnesota, right? Like you're an East Coast guy. But after you got drafted and leading up to the time of you arriving here in Minnesota, what did you think Minnesota was going to be other than a place that's going to be extremely cold?
Well, I didn't even realize how cold it was at that point. I knew of the Vikings. I was a football fan. I knew the Minnesota Vikings, knew of the Twins. It was very interesting to see what the city was going to be like, what the people were going to be like. Coming from the East Coast, I used to joke about this all the time, living in Philadelphia, and at that time, people come up and talk to you, you would look at them like they were crazy. Coming to Minnesota, when I first got there, people coming up, they were so friendly and so excited for the team. I was very, standoffish. I was like, what's this person want? It was exciting. I can remember when I first got there, Tyrone Corbin, he had lived out in Bloomington. And he took me out there and I saw all these bike trails and these running trails. And that wasn't, it's everywhere now. But back then, Minnesota was one of the places where, all the healthy people started.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
It's got to be interesting, too, at that time, because I remember back when I was like a sophomore in high school when you guys first got started. just the aspect of you talking about going into the NBA and being a part of an expansion team, and at the same time, the fans here being giddy and excited and happy because we were getting NBA basketball back, right? There were a lot of people that felt a certain way when the Lakers left Minnesota and they went to play in LA. So for us to get NBA basketball back, merging with the fact that you're coming to Minnesota for the first time, that had to be a special thing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was special. Like I said, it was exciting. You know, you do have a new team in the league. You know, you're bringing, you know, other talent into the city, you know, another professional team. I mean, you know, you had the Vikings, the Timberwolves, the Twins, and the North Stars
yep.
at that time.
Yep.
So, you know, it was exciting. And you know, all of those teams were very successful franchises.
Yeah.
You know, they were playing for something or competing, you know, in the playoffs. So it was an opportunity for us to come in and try to see what we could do.
Yeah. We're talking to former Minnesota Timberwolf Doug West here on the Life in the Pack podcast here on Life in the Pack. All right. So let me ask you about your background. You're from Altoona, Pennsylvania. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you were one of the most highly coveted recruits in the country out of high school. The year before you arrived at Villanova to play for Raleigh Massimino, the coach, they won the NCAA title. So what was it like stepping into the program that was riding high from one of the bigger upsets in NCAA tournament history?
Well, it was exciting, you know, going, you know, finally getting to Nova after they won the championship. I had committed prior to. So, you know, having the opportunity to watch, you know, I went to a game right at the end of the season. Villanova played the University of Pittsburgh, national TV game, and they got blown off the court. It was just a bad game. And then to turn around, you know, a month later and to see them win the national championship was just exciting. And then to go on campus, you know, back in the 80s, yeah, that was as a freshman coming into a school, into a city that had really won its first college championship, it was good times. You know, there was a lot of expectations, you know, still for our basketball program. But I think, you know, a lot of the people were still caught up in the 85 championship. You know, it was quote unquote considered an upset with them beating Georgetown. So, you know, it didn't make it that much easier for me as a freshman, but it was exciting to be part of that atmosphere and to be part of that legacy.
You know, so interesting because Villanova has been a really dominant program in the last decade or so. You keep close tabs on the program? You go back at all?
Oh yeah, well I coached there from 2007 to 2012.
Yep.
My son just graduated grad assistant from there 2 years ago. I don't live far from campus, so I've been to a few games this year, a lot of practices. I get to see it up and personal, you know, every day.
That's awesome. All right, so I'm talking to you at Target Center right now, but what do you remember about the Metrodome, Doug?
It was the longest walk in America from the locker room to the court. it was by far. I tell you what, you know, they have people, they have to stretch now before the game, you know. Well, from the time we left the locker room, by the time we got to the court, you were stretched. I mean, it was, you know, it was just one of the longest walks to the court. That place was just so massive. You know, but it was exciting, you know, playing there. You know, I had played at the Carrier Dome, you know, in the Big East. Mm-hmm. So I was used to the dome atmosphere. But, you know, being in there and, you know, those days where we would have practice in there when there would be nobody in there, it was just unreal. And then I think our first game there was against the Lakers, you know, and when I say there were people sitting so high and so far away, that, you know, you're sitting on the bench looking up there saying, wow, are they really sitting that far away?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was exciting. I mean, you know, we had great crowds in there. The people, I mean, the fans of Minnesota brought it every night. You know, unfortunately, we didn't bring it every night as a team, but you know, the fans brought it. The support was just tremendous, and you know, from day one, just exciting. And yeah, that place was one of the biggest places ever to play in.
Hey, trust me, I was one of those speckles or one of those fans that was out there watching you guys play, because my first ever Timberwolves game was that first season. You guys played the Chicago Bulls, and a friend of my family at the time, he's still a friend of the family. He's, love him to death. His name is Rene Pulley, and he's in charge of Nike basketball, EYBL stuff.
Pulley, here. The Pulley All-Star?
Yeah. I used to roll with Pulley and do some coaching with Rene back in the late 90s, early 2000s. But Rene took me to my first Timberwolves game, and it was against the Chicago Bulls at the Metrodome that year.
those games are fun. And, you know, and everyone – it was always a problem playing Chicago. Because everyone wanted to see Mike get off, man. It was just like, you know, and, you know, as a competitor, you never want to let Mike get off.
But yeah.
Mike, you know, Mike was Mike. So, you know, we know what he did. So,
well, let me ask you about that. So how many, whenever, not just with the Metrodome, but also at Target Center, when you have somebody like, you know, you're going to do battle against a Michael Jordan, how many ticket requests would you get, bro?
Well, you know, the ticket requests were never a problem with me. I never thought, you know, I had certain, you know, we each had our certain amount of tickets. Plus, I had a little section back in the day where I had some, you know, kids and everything. So the ticket requests were never the issue. The issue was that the fans wanted to see Mike dunk on everyone, and you know, and score 30-something, 40 points.
Your fans, like, yeah.
Yeah, your fans, your home fans, you know. And it was like, well, that's at my expense. Like, you know, I can't do that. So that was the only issue I ever had. It was just like, you know, we can't let, I was a Mike fan in college. So, you know, watching him for as long as I did, you know, and trying to emulate a lot of the stuff he did before, you know, next thing you know, you're playing against him. So, you know, as you're playing him, you're thinking like, I've seen these moves. I know what he's going to do.
Yep.
But, you know, seeing it on TV and being there live one-on-one with, you know, 20,000 people in the stands, it's a lot different, you know. So, like I always said, it was exciting, you know, competing against, you know, all the great players in the NBA. Just to say that you had that opportunity was exciting. But the fans wanting to see Mike get off just always used to get to me.
Yeah. We're talking to Doug West here on the Life in the Pack podcast. What was it like playing for the late coach, Bill Musselman?
he was a character. You know, Mus had some of the greatest stories before practice. I mean, he would tell stories about, I mean, things, just anything, you know, just be off the wall. He'd just be sitting there looking at this dude like, is he serious? But he just had great stories, and he was so into his craft, so into making sure that, you know, we were one of the better executing teams. I mean, we would dummy offense, you know, for 25, 30 minutes, you know, like practice is an hour and a half, and 30 minutes of that was dummying offense, you know, five on that side, five on the other side, you know, dummying your offense. So it was just became second nature. And, you know, I had my college coach, Coach Massimino, was the same way. So for me, that transition was awesome. You know, having someone like that. And then, you know, after my first year coming back, my second year, I really wasn't sure where I was, where I, you know, sat within the organization, within the team. And when he brought me in, because, you know, you get called in there, it's like it could be you're getting cut, or, you know, you're getting that lease on life. And he gave me that lease and finally trusted in me, put me in, allowed me to play. And, you know, couldn't thank him more for that.
Who was the player that was probably your best friend or player that you trusted the most during your playing days with the Timberwolves?
Well, early on, you know, Tyrone Corbin, Tony Campbell. And then, you know, as we moved into it, Sam Mitchell's, you know, we all lived in pretty much in the same area. You know, Terry Porter, you know, know, guys I still keep in touch with, you know, as we moved along there, you know, Christian and I became really, really good friends. You know,
wait,
still,
Christian Leitner, he got friends?
Oh yeah, Christian's a good guy, man. Christian's a good guy. Christian, he knows how to keep people away. Trust me.
You know, you played over a decade in the NBA, 12 years to be specific. That's a lengthy career as a player. What would you say was the key to your longevity?
I think that I was coachable. I think that I was someone who left it on the floor all the time. You know, played hard whenever I stepped between the lines. You know, was able to play multiple positions. And just you know, the love of the game and the love of, you know, competing every day. I think it was one of the things that was very good for me.
Well, listen to this. This is from a colleague of mine and a good friend of mine, Chad Hartman, who you know from your days with the Timberwolves. You know, I asked him a little bit about you, and he said, super guy, worked his butt off, professional, best second-round pick in franchise history. And he told me to tell you hi.
I appreciate that. You know, Chad's a good guy, good golfer.
Don't get started on him in his golf game, bro.
Oh, golfer. Yeah, I know he's a golfer. So, you know, I was out there this summer, came out and played golf for a few days. Hopefully I'll make it back this upcoming summer for another round out there. So look forward to that always yep. playing golf.
The 1992-93 season, that was your best year when looking at your stats. You averaged 19.3 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and you shot 51% from the field. That was your fourth season in the league. What really clicked for you?
I think the pace of the game, and you know, I think the game slowed down for me a little bit. And, you know, I think that was a time we brought Jimmy Rogers in. And Coach Rogers, basically, he gave me the go, the green light. You know, I think we ran plays and ran sets where I was being able to get to my spot. And back then, my spot was elbow extended jumpers. You know, we weren't, you know, back in the 80s, early 90s, the three-pointer wasn't the shot that it is now in the NBA. You know, you had guys that shot it, but it wasn't one of the shots that, you know, everyone was shooting. So I think my mid-range game was very good. And I think I was able to get out and transition and finish on the break.
You know, you participated in the 1992 NBA Slam Dunk Contest. What was that like for you representing Minnesota All-Star Weekend?
That was exciting. It was nerve-wracking. I was an in-game dunker. I was never one of those guys who, you know, just went and just practiced different kind of dunks. You know, everything just happened by instinct with me. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was in-game, so it was more of the emphasis on someone, you know, not out there just by yourself. So it was a great experience. I was kind of shocked I didn't make it to the next round. But, you know, things happen. You live and you learn. I think Cedric Sabalas won that one. That was when he was blindfolded. So it was a good time. Good time.
You know, a month ago I sat with former Wolves player Latrell Sprewell, and he loved coming back to Minnesota to watch the squad. How many times have you been able to come back to the place that drafted you since you retired?
Well, it's really funny you asked that. The first time I came back was this past summer, like I said. And, you know, I don't know when this airs, but I will be in town tomorrow. So
awesome.
I am coming in for a game this weekend. You know, so it'll be the first time that I'll see the squad, the NBA squad play live for over 20 years. You know, I saw the summer league team this past summer, but this will be the first time I'll be in there where the game really counts.
On your return, go ahead.
Actually, it's a good game. They play the Nets. So
yeah,
it should be a good game.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. On your return to Minnesota, anything special that you want to see or do?
Well, it's 11 below zero. I want to stay warm.
You just want to stay warm. See, there you go. See, why now? You don't have to take the cheap shot at us, Doug. Come on now. He said, I just want to stay warm.
I think you know, this summer, I had a chance to see a lot of friends and get when I got back and, you know, spend some time with some people. So, you know, to do that, it's a big playoff weekend, you know, football. You know, I'm a football fan. So, you know, being able to sit back, you know, enjoy the games. Will be nice. And then I'm going to attend practice tomorrow, you know, see some of that, and then just look forward to the game on Sunday and you know, just feeling that atmosphere again. You know, I think it'll be exciting.
Yeah. I know that there are so many of your fans that are listening right now, and they want to know, what are you up to nowadays? So get Wolves Nation up to speed as to what you're doing in life now.
Well, I am part of a company called A3 Hoops, where we you know, run camps and clinics and all of those fun things. I am also a high school coach. I coach at a private high school girls basketball. You know, pretty good team. And I'm part of the Nike circuit on the girls EYBL, and I have I coach the Philly Rise 17U EYBL team.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
I stay pretty active in basketball and especially on the girls' side.
Man, I love Nike EYBL. That is amazing. I love covering that stuff. Or I used to. I haven't done it in over a decade, but that's a lot of fun to see the rising stars, tomorrow stars here today. I want to get your take on the current NBA. What is your opinion of the league? And I ask that because there's so many people that complain and say that the young guys, they're soft, or that the game has changed too much. And while I agree that the game has changed some, I don't blame the players for that. And I just think that things change over time in anything that you do in life.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I love the game, you know, and I love the evolution of basketball. You know, I look at it, I coach my girls like the guys play. You know, we open the floor, you know, being able to drive in space and share the ball. I think it's just when it's really, when the game is played really well that way, it just looks beautiful. I mean, if you watch, you know, the Golden States or Phoenix right now, even Minnesota, the way they play, the way they move the ball, it's just good basketball. And the game has changed for the big man. I can remember when I came in the league, it was about throwing the ball in the post, and that five was always running to the post. Well, now these guys are skilled, you know, and that's just, as we say, how basketball's evolved. You know, living here in Philadelphia, I'm watching Joel Embiid the other day come down the court like he's the point guard, you know, Euro steps, finishing at the basket, shooting threes. So I like the way the game has gone. You know, we have more, as what I look at it, as basketball players, not positions, you know, more positionless basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate it and love how it's being played.
A few more minutes with former Minnesota Timberwolf Doug West here on the Life in the Pack podcast. I'm going to call you OG because you're one of the originals, you know, going back to 1989. You were one of the vets for Hall of Famer Kevin Garnett. If you had the opportunity to give some advice to current players, Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns, what would you say?
Well, Kevin was a guy who, I mean, he between the lines, that 94 by 50, he left it out there. And, you know, that was every possession, every day, never taking a day off, taking a minute off. That's what it takes. That's what it takes to be that superstar. It's the, you know, to do it daily, and when no one's looking, to keep doing it, and you know, never be satisfied. You know, eventually it comes to an end. So, you know, push yourself through it, because you never know when it's going to end.
You know, I always thought about this. How would you describe yourself, Doug? Because you weren't one of those players that sought out the limelight.
Yeah, I still don't. You know, I like to sit back and see what's going on and just live my life, you know, on the down low. You know, it's always have people tell me about, you know, we got to use your name to do this. And it's just like, you know, now these kids are getting paid for that, you know, name, immigrant likeness, you know, now if I could do it all over again, yeah, you go in, you go out there full bore ahead. But
man, you in the Big East, NIL, back in those days,
oh, yeah.
Oh, Doug,
you'd
have a little pocket change still.
Oh, these kids, yeah, I look at these kids now, and it's just, you know, the sky's the limit for them. You know, everything's changing, and, you know, nothing but the best for all of them.
Yeah. All right, the last thing we do is I kind of do like a rapid fire questions deal, and just a couple of quick questions here at the end. I'm going to mention something. You just briefly tell me what comes to your mind. Give me your go-to restaurant when you played here in Minnesota.
My go-to restaurant when I played in Minnesota. Manny's.
Oh, okay. See, there you go. You just gave me all the feels right there, bro. Manny's, okay. Manny's Steakhouse, absolutely. So, you know what? You're going to get a massive thumbs up from all the Timberwolves fans when they hear that. Manny's Steakhouse, you can't lose there. Who was the player that you loved putting on a poster, dunking on the most? Give me a flashback.
I think one of the best ones is, and it's on one of the cards, one of my cards, getting AC Green in LA. You know, anytime you can, you know, you're on that stage and you're able to get someone in the forum, you know, those are good ones.
Who would you say was your favorite athlete from one of the other professional sports teams here in town during the time that you were here?
Kirby Puckett.
Yeah, that's the man.
Yeah, Kirby. Kirby and I were pretty good friends. Kirby.
All right, the final one for you. Who is your favorite player in the league currently?
My favorite player in the league currently to watch. Oh, you know what? There's Edwards is very good. Anthony Edwards is very good to watch. You know, I like Ja Morant. You know, these young guys coming in, they have some skill. So, you know, I'm going to stick with my home man, Timberwolf. So I'll stay with Anthony Edwards.
Nice. Well, Doug, it's been a pleasure to have you on the Life in the Pack podcast. A continued success to you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.